content. Subtopic, don't play around with depression. Can y'all give God a bigger hand to pray? He has prepared such a good meal, and he know us. He know us. He know every one of us. He know how you were talking last night. He know how you've been feeling. He's looking past how we try to sometimes fool other people. Are you content? Probably won't have you say too much to your neighbor this morning, because it's going to be such a personal message. Because again, I'm asking us to act this morning when I'm preaching and teaching. Don't literally do it, because we can't all do it. But I want you to act as if the whole time Pastor is up here preaching and teaching, I have a mirror out in front of me. And I'm looking at me. I'm not looking at my neighbor. I'm not looking at who in front of me or behind me. He's teaching the word of God, and I'm looking at me. And I'm asking myself, are you content? Are you content? If you're taking notes, at some point in this life, everyone will deal with evil or negative thoughts. At some point in this life, everyone will deal with evil or negative thoughts. There is no one who is so high in God that they never deal with evil or negative thoughts. And some of you could have shouted amen, because you know that that is a true statement. That all of us, regardless of the things we have and the things we don't have, we all deal with evil or negative thoughts. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen of somebody who dealt this week with some evil or negative thoughts? Thoughts that are coming to your mind that you know is not right. Thoughts that are coming into our mind that we know, I don't need to make this my focus. This is a evil or negative thought. Now, the thing is, how do we deal with the thoughts? That's what matters the most. Not that they're going to come, because I'm telling you that they are going to come. Evil or negative thoughts are especially going to come whenever you find yourself going through something that is challenging. Whether that challenge is physical, mental, emotional, financial, family, job, career, or business, if you're in a challenge, come on somebody, then evil thoughts are going to come. They're going to come. Evil thoughts are going to try to intrude into your mind. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, I got peace in my mind. Yeah, but this thought has come in order to replace your peace and kick out your peace and cause you to meditate on the wrong thing. And if I meditate on the wrong thing, then it's going to have a profound effect upon my attitude, my behavior, and my character. If you don't have the right thoughts, no way you can have the right attitude. Come on, somebody. Come on, give God a praise. You cannot have the right attitude and you are embracing negative thoughts. No, 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 no. You cannot do that. Now, you may get away for a moment. You may be good enough. You may deserve an Oscar for how well you pretend around certain people. But see, I know you, because I've been right where you are. The more you pretend around people, the more frustrated you are when you are by yourself, because you know that you're simply deceiving yourself. Why try to make me think you happy when you know you're not happy? Because at the end of the day, preach it, Pastor, you got to live with yourself.
Yeah, you got to live with yourself. Come on here, somebody. Y'all know Pastor preaching good this morning. And again, don't miss it. Some of us deserve an Oscar. We doing better acting than Denzel. And we'll say stuff like, ooh, he know he can act. She knows she a good actor, but they ain't got nothing on you, though. You do good. You do well yourself. How many would be honest in church this morning? Have you ever pretended like you were happy? And as soon as people left you, as soon as you got by yourself, you were relieved that you didn't have to pretend anymore. No, I'm not happy. I'm angry. No, I'm not happy. I'm bitter. No, I'm not happy. I'm miserable. No, I'm fed up. Oh, look, drop it, pal. I feel like cussing. I feel like drinking. I feel like going back to something I vowed not to go back to. Oh, okay. What my single ladies? Do I have any single ladies? I feel like calling him. Because in time past, he had the moves to make me feel a little better. I feel like doing what I don't need to do. I don't need to leave the marriage, but I feel like it's time to go. Come on, somebody. See, you can pretend right now. You can be looking like, ain't me, Pastor, but it's somebody. Keep going, keep going. But see, I'm reminding you, you got to live with yourself. And sometime God bring us into his house and he has a word that's going to confront us. But God is never going to make you change. You got to realize this is my word. If you're taking notes, oh, we basically have two decisions that can be made. I could break it down more, but let me deal with two. Two things, two decisions, two choices when I'm dealing with evil or negative thoughts. And saints, I have dealt with them for years. Because you're not going to be used by God in a great and a mighty way, and things not attack your mind. Come on, y'all. It's a battle of the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart or mind, so is he. So is he. So there's a battle going on in my mind. Come on. You can sit at a dinner table with everybody passing the peas and the cornbread and talking about how good the fried corn is, but they don't realize I'm battling in my mind. The dinner is wonderful. But the battle that I have in my mind is that I wish I was eating with somebody else. It's the battle that I have in my mind. I'm not against marriage. I'm just against the one that I'm married to. And that's the battle in my mind. Woo, way. I wish somebody just do like that. That's the battle that's in my mind. Come on, cause you're going through something up there. Just do your head like that. I know you women got your hair fixed, but just try to rub over the top of it. Just say that's the battle that's in my mind. That's what's going on in my mind. Are you here this morning? Two choices we have. Number one, we can succumb to those thoughts. You can succumb to them. which means you can fail to resist those thoughts. When you succumb to something, you fail to resist. No need in you getting up trying to change your life. You came out of poverty, and you're always going to be in poverty. You ain't ever had nothing, and you won't ever have nothing. You can succumb to that thought. If you do, you're failing to resist that thought. Come on. It also says that when you succumb, that you're giving in to that idea. You're giving in to it. You'd be surprised why people are who they are today. There are many people who gave in to words. Words form thoughts. And they gave in to it. At some point, they stopped trying to do better. They stopped trying to get up. Because they gave in to a thought. Come on. Teaching good. When you give in, it's important to recognize two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to be influenced by those thoughts. So your choices will not primarily be just your choices, but it has something to do with the thoughts that are influencing. See, when you start growing up, one thing you should be able to do is stop playing the blame game. Come on. You know, I always talk about who fault it is. Well, you know, Pam, I would be so much farther along. Did I tell you what they did to me, Pastor? Oh, you done told me about 20 times. And every time you tell me that story, I remind you that that was in the 90s. Do I not? But Pastor, don't stop it from hurting though. But see, if you set your mind on something that hurts you and you succumb to that, then you deserve to feel hurt because that's where you put your mind. There are other things you could have set your mind on that would have made you feel better. About your God, about your church, about your life. I have made decisions and had to have God check me. Because that decision came about because of what you allowed to influence you. Y'all ain't ever, boy, Lord have mercy. It's like I'm the only one up here just really want to be transparent. You ain't ever just asked yourself, why did I do it? Oh, I gotta go for it. Are you stupid? What's wrong with you? Get it together. Oh, yeah. You ain't ever surprised yourself. Oh, no, you didn't let me finish. And how stupid you can act sometimes. Boy, there's some folk like they like, Pastor, I can't go there. I can't go there. Finally, negative or evil thoughts seek not just to influence, but to control a person, to dominate you. And so when you're controlled or dominated by evil thoughts, every decision, every choice, whether to do or not to do, is based upon that evil thought. You know, there are folk that are controlled by evil thoughts that people don't like them. Watch who actually love them. And so the person who loves you is treating you right. But because you're controlled by that evil thought, it's actually you who's mistreating them. ain't no love in the church. That's an evil thought. If you're controlled by it, why would you come to a place where there is no love? Drop it, Pastor. And maybe there wasn't any love at your old church, but there was only six of you. But if you come to Refuge, if you come to Refuge, I know one person who gonna love you. Pastor Leonard. And the D is for Dante. Dante gonna love you. I'm going to love you if you frown through the whole sermon, if you mean mug me through the whole message, if I greet you at the back door, I'm still going to love you. But I'm not alone. There are some people in this church that I know love people. Come on, there are some people in this church that I know love people. They talking about me. We ain't studying you. We ain't. She rolled her eyes at me. No, she didn't. She had eye trouble. You don't know what you're talking about. Be seated. Be seated. She look at me funny. She look at everybody funny. She can't help that. Pastor, I stood there and talked to her the whole time. She wouldn't even look at me. Her eyes go here and there. That's just a so-and-so you're talking about. That's a nice and kind woman. Pastor, I came up there, but that brother seemed like he want me. That brother want you. That brother was being nice to you. Do you think every man that nice to you want you? And someone will have to say, yeah. Why do saints compete with one another? Evil thoughts. Why do saints try to outdo one another, outdress one another? Evil thoughts. And see, when you're controlled by them, you compete with people who are not competing with you. I saw you had such and such. I got a better one. Happy for you. But I'm not finna go and try to top you because mine paid for and I ain't hearing that. Oh, can we preach it? Can we go back to New Year's Eve? I'm good. I'm good. If my car didn't come with it, I'm good. Oh, they were good. I ain't even got y'all talking to your neighbor. Number two, we can do this right here. We can do this right here. This is what your pastor do. We can do it right. I can't succumb. I can't succumb. I can't do it anymore. I can't. That's off the table. Can't succumb. You can't. You got to deal with this negative thought. I counter. I counter. When negative thoughts come, I counter. Do you hear me? Which means, number one, I land a return blow or I hit back. Woo! Where my fighters at? Where my fighters at? Well, Pastor, the Bible say if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other. I ain't been saved that long. I might counter. You might want to try somebody else with. I ain't made it yet. Come on, y'all act like y'all did. Come on, somebody walk up and slap you, Christian. Yeah. Pow. Now you supposed to turn the, let me get the other cheek. No, I'm going to turn the cheek, your cheek. But be seated. Be seated. You got a counter. You got a counter. Come on. Listen. You got a land. Paul said, I do not fight as one that beats the air. If somebody trying to knock you out, what do you look like swinging at the air? This person trying to hurt you. Any good fighter know you got to land the punches. It's the punches that land that count. And I know there are more women up in here. Some of you smile and they're sitting there trying to act like you don't know nothing about fighting. Which one said it? Her. Oh, yeah, she messing up this good soul in. This is costly. But listen. You got to land. You got to land it. A return blow, or you got to hit back. Pastor, break that down a little bit more. You got to speak and act in opposition to that evil or negative thought. You got to speak and act in opposition to that negative thought. No need in you going, because they're going to turn you down. You don't have a down payment nor excellent credit. And you don't have a cosigner. Now see, if you counter, you going. I said you going. Oh, y'all, I said you going. You going to speak and act in opposition to the thought that says you can't have. And so now you're on the parking lot and it's a battle in the mind, but I'm hitting back. I'm punching back. I'm talking to a salesman about my heart desire. Oh, y'all know that's real. I didn't stay at home. See, there are times that you're going to be hit with evil and negative thoughts. Listen, and you got to get up and do something. You can't lay there playing possum, playing dead, getting beat on by a whole bunch of negative thoughts. Look at you. Getting older by the second. Can't do nothing no more. Your happiness over. Ain't no divine progression for no senior citizen like you. Ooh. Just one blow after the ooh, and you can feel them blows. You know, when you get old, your bones feel stuff. Come on now. Ooh, oh. Pastor, how do I counter? How do I counter? Oh, Lord. Well, I tell you what, negative thought. Caleb was 85 years old before he got his first house. Woo! Moses was in his 80s when he went to preach to Pharaoh a message called, "Let my people go." See, but some of us, we're not countering. You're taking too many hard blows. Can I teach it right? Am I teaching it right? Three meanings to depression. Three things I want you to know about depression. I'm going to get to some serious scripture. Three things I want you to know about depression. Number one, it's serious and it's real. Depression is a real thing. It's a real thing, y'all. I don't believe in it. How are you in it? Everybody don't act the same when they depressed. I I have conversations with saints. I have quick greetings with saints that I know is battling depression. Because God allowed me to know it. And I don't ask them. I don't say, what's wrong, sister? No, but I commit to praying for them. Now listen, because I know the battle is real. I know the battle is serious. So serious that I can't afford to play around with. Can I be honest with my church? Let me share something with y'all. I don't play with unhappiness. I don't play with my happiness. I won't let you play with my happiness. So what? He got to be happy. It's bigger than I'm telling you. See, when you play with your happiness, you know you're depressed. But you're saying stuff like, well, you know, I'll do something. I'll get up in a minute. See, you're playing around. You're playing around. And people have played around with depression and fell into another level. Come on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. There are some people in church know what Pastor's talking about. There are levels to this thing. Come on, there are levels to this thing. Number one, depression simply means it is a feeling of deep sadness. Depression is a feeling of deep sadness. Number two, depression is being in a low place. Or withdrawing from happiness. Being in a low place. And in that low place, you're scraping, and clawing to get away from happiness. You can be in that place and somebody will tell you, I've been thinking about you. Hey, let's do lunches on me. You know, that new place just came to town. I got you. Let's meet up. I'll think about it. No, come on. I'm telling you, it's good. Girl, they rave reviews. I got us. I'll call you. Okay. Let's do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it sound good. Now your phone is ringing. That's the call. That's the number that can put you in touch with somebody that's happy and you can go out and have a good time. And you won't answer the call because you are withdrawing from happiness. I don't feel like having a good time. I don't want to talk to that brother. I don't want to set up a meeting with Pastor. I'm withdrawing from happiness. Notice Acts 26. It's quiet now. See, you don't play around with depression. You don't play around with depression. Notice the Apostle Paul, the author of Philippians 4 in Acts 26. Notice Acts 26. Let me show you that it's a battle of the mind. And don't nobody get mad at me what I'm about to say. And I know online they may be finna cut me up now. But when it comes to a child of God, you're not gonna defeat depression talking to a therapist who don't believe in God. Come on. I got a church here, y'all. There's a church in the house. There are people in the seats. I'm telling you. The world may come out that way. The world may feel better that way. But a child of God has a better way. Therapists seek to teach you how to cope with something your entire life, but God wants to move you to a place of deliverance. That is the key. Not always rehearsing what you've been through, feeling worse and worse, and paying for it at the same time. You're talking to a therapist that's just as depressed as you are. She's an alcoholic. She's hooked on prescription pills. And some people prove that, because if they're depressed and they talk to you and you try to move them from that place to a better place, they're done with you. It's the bitterness that I have. I'd be so far along. But you know, through the divorce, he did this, he did that, and he did this. So it's the first thing we need to do. We got to let him go. We got to let him go. Come on, you got to give him to God. Now, when you give him to God, you got to recognize, sister, that you weren't perfect in the marriage yourself. You got to recognize that you did some stuff as well. Now, you got to forgive him and you got to move on. But if a sister doesn't want to let that man go, she going to continue stalking him on social media. She gonna keep riding out her gas, going by his house, trying to figure out who car that is. The devil is a lot. I know that ain't my friend car. She got a car just like that. You know they made more than one now. Time to move on. But I'm still hurting. God will say to you sometimes, time to move on. I need another minute, God. Time to move on. Because when you don't move on, when God say move on, then you're going to come to a place where it's up to you to move yourself. And you know you don't have that power. I've had God say to me, time to move on. Y'all think I'm playing on. What did he say to Samuel when Samuel grieved over Saul? Samuel was borderline depressed about how Saul, first king of Israel, the one Samuel anointed, became a big disappointment. It bothered the prophet. Until God said to Samuel, Samuel, how long? How long? Woo! Somebody shout, how long? How long? That's the question. Somebody shout, how long? Somebody shout, how long? How long will you be there? How long will you cry? How long? He said, Saul, he said, Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? This is what God dropped on it. Seeing that I went out and found a better man. See, while you're grieving, God is setting you up for better if you will move. Be seated. Acts 26. I got to speed up as I always do. Acts 26 and 2. This is the Apostle Paul. Are y'all with me? This is the Apostle Paul. Acts 26 and 2. He's in jail. He's getting an opportunity to speak. They brought false witnesses, folk telling lies on Paul in order that he would be executed. So he's in prison, standing trial. He gets to talk to some important people. You know, we would call them shot callers. Y'all familiar with that word, a shot caller? I mean, this person got the power to call a shot. Let him go. He free. Don't get mad. Trump is a shot caller. Some of y'all, don't say his name, Pastor. That's a trigger, Pastor. Let me tell you something. Why are you hooding? He's still a shot call. You running around here mad, Trump living good. Trump smiling and you sad. Like you can find. If I ever see him, you ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to do nothing. Act 26 and 2. Oh, y'all need to let that stuff go. I'm telling you, some of y'all need to let that go. How many more years he got? I ain't going to be happy till you get out of there. Oh, I feel for you. Can I share something with you? In my humble opinion, they all bought and paid for. Acts 26:2. Paul said this right here when he got the opportunity to speak. Somebody say he got an opportunity to talk. Now some of us, we finna cuss out some folk. Remember I said people been lying on you? They coming from a far line and trying to get you killed. Now you got an opportunity to say what you're going to say. Some of us finna cuss some people out. Not the high up. We probably greet them real nice. Madam, Judge, Your Honor, thank you for the opportunity to talk. But that so-and-so right there is a so-and-so liar. Y'all know we done did it. But this is what Paul does. Paul said, I think myself happy. What did I tell you? It's a battle of the what? The mind. Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself content. Paul was human. No doubt he had to fight off a counter evil or negative thoughts in order to open his mouth and say, I think myself happy. I'm happy today because of what I meditate on. And you know what Paul was meditating on? I'm not your prisoner. I'm not your prisoner. You ain't got me here, and you didn't put me here, and you ain't the cause for me being here. Paul said, I am the Lord's prisoner. I'm here to do the will of God. Notice Proverbs 12. Notice Proverbs 12. Some of it's some good teaching going forward. You need to listen. You need to be a learner right now. Well, Pastor, everything is just wonderful right now, but you need to be a learner. Because seasons what? Change. Proverbs 12 and 25. Notice it very carefully. Y'all got Proverbs 12, 25, Old Testament. Proverbs 12 and 25. Notice what Solomon said. Notice what the Proverb writer said. Proverbs 12 and 25. Anxiety or whatever is associated or some kin to worrying in the heart. Where? In the heart. In where? In the heart. The heart represents the mind or the mindset. Anxiety, worry, or anything akin to it in the heart of man causes what? Depression. Causes what? Depression. Causes what? Depression. Tell yourself, if I'm depressed, there's a cause. There's a cause. In this text, the cause is something you permit to enter your mind. That's profound. If I'm depressed, it's because of a thought that I permit to enter and stay in my mind. Notice, because he says it, anxiety where? In the heart. Causes what? Depression. If I don't want to be depressed, anxiety has to go. If you take it, no. Just like you allowed it to enter the mind, you now evict it. Whatever that thought was, you evict that thought. Pastor, I can, yes, you can. Listen, it's your mind. It's your life. Come on, I'm teaching good. Anxiety in the heart of a man, a human. This comes down to humanity, how we were created or designed. And if we let certain things get in our heart or in our mind, it causes us, listen, to be in that place of deep sadness, that place of withdrawing from happiness. See, even Elijah, the great prophet, was subject not only to being depressed, but being deceived. Elijah, the great and mighty prophet, slew 450 false prophets of Baal who ate at Jezebel's table. And when he killed her prophets, he upset this wicked woman. Hold on. Look at 1 Kings. I'm closing. Look at 1 Kings. I just got like two more scriptures and we done. But I need to show you this because I always talk about this story a lot when I deal with depression. Because it has so often, it has really helped me. It really helped. Pastor, I'm too anointed to be depressed. You better watch yourself. You better watch yourself. Come on, somebody. I said, you better watch yourself. Yeah, I'm too high, Pastor. You better watch yourself. Notice 1 Kings 19. Notice this right here. I need y'all to see something. I need you to see something. I normally just quote this, but I need you to see it. I need to just stop and let us see it. 1 Kings 19. That's Old Testament. We just got two more scriptures and we're done, y'all. And y'all been so patient, so patient today. 1 Kings 19, are y'all ready? Let's pick it up at verse 1. And Ahab, and Ahab was a king, but he was a wimp. Ahab was a wimp to the bone. No, don't talk like that. There are a lot of men who are wimp to the bones. And folk knew it. Israel knew it. Israel knew that Jezebel ran their house. Just like some of us, we know men who the woman runs that house. She tells that man what to do and what not to do. Yep, he's a big wimp. Did I say it? Maybe I didn't say it. And everybody know it. Everybody knew that Jezebel ran Ahab. This is the reason something went bad and he ran to Jezebel. That's what men do. Baby, they talking about me. Baby, I applied for that job like you told me to, but they didn't give it to me because my supervisor don't like me. Well, you just get up. And you just let mama take care of that. Ahab told Jezebel. Some men don't like that. And let me tell you something, brother. You are not any better when you try to prove you ain't a wimp by being mean. Being mean don't make a leader. Being mean don't make you no head, not no biblical head. Throwing temper tantrum. Moping when you don't get your way. Got men ministry coming up, eh? There's one thing I don't like. I got to move. I'm behind time. There's one thing I don't like. That's a moping man that won't say what he's mad about. Open up your mouth. What's going on? Here it goes. What's wrong? Nothing. You going to church? No. What you want to eat? Food. Are you mad? No. Do I look mad? Yeah. You look mad enough to kill somebody. A good leader, I understand being upset and needing to get your thoughts and this, that, and the other, and know that you're going to speak with wisdom. But a leader has to have the ability to communicate, even in challenging times. Pray, seek God, get a word. Oh, Lord. Where we at? 1 Kings 19. I got to hear up. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, her false god, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now verse 3 of screens. And when he saw that, I thought they sent a message. But the Bible said when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. What did he see? He had a negative thought of Jezebel doing exactly what she said. And the Bible said that the prophet ran for his life, went and hid under a tree, then under a cave. Y'all ain't gonna believe what Elijah prayed. He prayed to die. So don't tell me you too high. Don't tell me nothing bothers you. Proverbs 17. We coming in. Don't nothing get to me. No, there are some things that can get to you. It's just a matter of how do you respond when you realize this is getting to me. This is bothering me. This is working on me. See, you got to know you. You got to know you. Proverbs 17. We right there, y'all. Proverbs 17:22. Woo, are y'all ready? A merry heart does what?
Good.
A merry heart does what?
Good.
Like what? Medicine. Medicine here is a remedy or a cure for sickness or disease. Notice that a merry heart is the cure, the antidote, or the remedy for a broken spirit or depression, which dries the bones. Bones is figurative of one's life. When you're depressed, when you have a broken spirit, it dries your bones or it ruins your life. Well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good, even though I stayed depressed. You're not, sister. You're not, brother. You're deceiving yourself. Remember I talked about Elijah? He was not only depressed, he was deceived. Because even when he talked to God, when he had an opportunity to talk to God, he proved that he was deceived. When he told God, I am the only one that's left. And they seek my life. See, he had deceived himself. When you're depressed, you can deceive yourself. God told Elijah, said, get up from here. You're not the only one. He said, I have 7,000 prophets who have not bowed their knee nor kissed Baal. Why did Elijah feel he was the only one? Because of evil or negative thoughts. I'm all alone. That's an evil and a negative thought. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How was Paul able to be content? How was he able? He had profound knowledge and understanding about the will of God. Whether he was hungry or full, whether he was abounding or suffering need, Paul was good with God's will. See, you have to be good with God's will or season for your life. You have to be good. You have to know if this is where God has me, then it's well. And I can be content. Are you content? Finally, I show you what Paul mastered, that if we will master it, it is the ultimate counter. It is the ultimate punch, kick,
knee or what have you when evil or negative thoughts are coming at you. Philippians 4, and we're closing now. Philippians 4, the same book, the same chapter. Notice what he told this church before he gave them his personal testimony about being content. Notice this, and we're done. Y'all have did good today. Philippians 4, this is how we counter. This is the blow. This is, you need to hit back with this right here. And if you know how to do it, child of God, you're going to be okay. Well, you are okay. You good. You good if you can learn to do this right here. When evil and negative thoughts come, because it's a battle of the what? It's a battle of the what? Notice what Paul said in Philippians 4 and 8. Here's where we close. You got to get this. You got to get this. Remember the subject? Are you what? Content. Subtopic? Don't play around with what? Don't play around with depression. Paul says in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, church, saints, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything virtue, if there is any virtue, excuse me, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these what? On these what? Meditate on things that have a good report. Set your mind on certain things. That's how we counter. Whatever things are true. So don't set your mind on nothing false. You ain't gonna make it. That's false. That's false because God is with me. See, that's a false report. Don't set your mind on anything false. Set your mind on what's true. Come on, I'm closing. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Watch verse 9. The things which you have what? Learned. I'm going to stop right there. The things which you have what? Learned. All this year we've been talking about being a learned church. That a learned church is content. A learned church is happy. A learned church is satisfied. You have to meditate on the things you've learned. That's where your mind got to be. And when you meditate on what you've learned, what God has already given us, you know what it's saying about you? I don't play around with depression. Pastor, I don't play around with unhappiness. No way I'm going to be miserable in a year where God said you should be content or happy. No way I'm going to let anything or anybody cause me to be sad. Final note, if we meditate on these things, we will be content. We will be learned. We will progress in a year of divine progression. This is my final word. If we play around with depression or unhappiness instead of progressing, four things God told me to mention, four important things. I'm closing like this, y'all. You know it's got to be important. If we play around, if you play around, because I'm not going to do it. If you play around with depression, if you play around with unhappiness in a year of divine progression, number one, you're going to find yourself stuck. Stuck. You know when you're stuck, you can't move forward. Right. You're gonna see others progressing. And you're going to be stuck. Some are going to decline. Meaning, you're going to get worse. Because how many realize that God already know everything that I'm going to battle this year? He already know everything you're going to battle. How many realize that? And he ain't setting me up to get worse or to decline. Finally, or number three, you're going to underachieve. That means what God purposed for you to have, for you to do this year, you're going to underachieve.
Now, you can leave church today and say, I heard you, preacher, but I'm okay underachieving. See, I'm not going to get upset with you. I'd be a fool to get mad at you if you are okay being an underachiever. See, the Bible said it like this. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or what? Think. That tell me I'm supposed to be an overachiever. If God set me up to be an overachiever, what do I look like underachieving? Coming under. Come on. You don't want to be an underachiever. And then finally, and I've seen this all the years that I've been pastoring, when God give a mandate, you play around with depression this year, you play around with unhappiness, you can backslide. You'll backslide. And in backsliding, for those of us that's truly saved, for real, that means I'm going back to things that tried to kill me. You ain't said nothing to your neighbor all day. You still ain't. Tap yourself and just say, I can't afford to do that. Tap yourself again and say, I can't afford to go backwards. Or to backslide. Tell yourself, say, self, there is nothing in my past that's worth leaving God for. You better be content.